Welcome to the Young in Typology podcast, and we are here with Jeremy, Lori, and Mitchell. And Jeremy and I were talking about how some certain dichotomies, they go ahead and stack upon each other, and Mitchell was also part of the conversation, and Lori as well. And for one of the examples is that process and results, that results types are more irrational than process types, and process types are more rational. And that also means that other dichotomies as well, they stack upon each other. So then I asked the question to Jeremy, is there other dichotomies that are also affected, and which ones stack upon each other?
Well, that's kind of a tough answer, but yeah, that's the main one that we can see. And that's really fine. I'm going to go where you're talking about the, is it such resistance groups? I know there's a long article on, whatever it is, ethical senses in life scenarios. But yeah, there is some sort of connection between process and results and rationality and irrationality. They both seem to be connected to the accepting, producing dichotomy, rational dichotomy. But I was talking about this with Andrew. Well, process and results isn't quite like that. Process and results is kind of this kind of meta world where it's like it doesn't really, it divides the association, but in terms of mathematics, it doesn't really kind of work. So it's not really quite the same. I really don't know what you meant by that, but I kind of do. No, that sounds like much too much.
Yeah. Let me refine the question, and also Mitchell, you're open to answer it if you know, because you're much more familiar with Galenko. For example, does rationality effective, not in a mathematical way, but in there is any kind of like neural enhancement upon them? Like, are process types just more rational in general? Like, are they just going to be more rational? For example, the most rational types would then be the rational process types, if we kind of follow that kind of mathematical pattern. And we can also see that they are the most particular with, like, they have to go a certain direction, and they have to make sure that they're going in a certain direction. And are there other dichotomies that go ahead and affect this that Galenko is aware of, Mitchell?
Yeah, I guess what I should say about this idea in general is that some of the different dichotomies do just seem to have a certain structural similarity. And so that might be the case for rationality and process, for example, or irrationality and results. Those are the same thing, because they're not. I mean, they are different distinctions, but there are certain characteristics, I guess you could say, maybe the process types and rational types have that cluster. So I guess both rationality and process both sort of organize things in a way. I mean, that's not a good way of putting it, but whereas irrationality and results, maybe that's language, maybe less important. There's like a particularity, I guess, a splitting things into parts, maybe that process and rational types do. Whereas, yeah, I guess maybe some of the more irrational types, maybe types like SLE, IEE. And one thing I remember Galenko saying in his cognitive styles article is that you, for SLEs and IEEs, you can't train them to do smooth movement. That it's not even possible. Whereas that there are other, like before, smooth movement used to be something that was associated more with irrational types. Mm-hmm. and not smooth movement with rational types, but he associates that more with process and results. But then he says that process rationals, you know, rationality used to not be associated with smooth movement. Process rationals like LSI, for example, do actually have smooth movement, whereas the results irrationals have not smooth movement. I don't know if that has something to do with it. Yeah, it seems like rational functions and process types, they kind of build. I guess maybe that's what it is. They both kind of build things up.
Yeah.
Like T plus TI, whereas irrational end results are more just holistic. Like they're not building up to something. Like with results, you know, you always have to have some kind of result to go from one result to the next, but it tries to include the whole picture. And irrationality as well just deals with kind of raw, unevaluated information that's just more holistic. It doesn't, it's not as divided into parts as the rational functions are.
I agree with that, yes.
Do you feel that results and process, because results and process is something that Galenko highly thinks, out of the 15 dichotomies, do you agree with him? I believe, I can't really assert this, that he also thinks that results and process, along with introversion and extroversion, are the top two or top three out of the Ryan dichotomies.
I guess I'd say that he does seem, in general, to like the Jungian signs. I guess he used them to type me, for example, and I've seen him use them a lot. Like a lot of the Sisyanis, yeah, they go for more like of the other, the more like lesser signs of Rena and things like that. And those are really interesting, but he does seem to stick often with even just the basic Jung signs like logic, ethics, intuition, sensing. He seems, but yeah, he likes a process results. I mean, it's for like meaningful to his theories in the abstract. Extroversion, introversion seems important. He also seems to use static dynamic a fair amount as well, because he likes temperament. He uses temperament a lot, which is not something I see with also Sisyanis. Some of them disregard temperament. But he doesn't see that's important to his theory. And positivist negativist, he uses a lot. Kind of almost like him to see him use more asking to clearing, because like one conversation I was having with Jeremy, we were actually talking about how the asking to clearing functions of Mishrakina fit well in his theory, although he doesn't really use them. And Jeremy made like a whole post on that on Reddit. So it'd be interesting to see his take on that.
The whole asking to clearing thing derived from his original system. Yeah, that's how he originally thought of things. And then, you know, changes his mind as he does, but you know, I can see how it can be both, and that's what I'm trying to like figure in both.
One of the things that I've noticed, whether it's intentional or not, but Model G is arranged by introversion and extroversion, and asking and declaring is also, the signs are also arranged by introversion and extroversion. And one of the things that I've kind of put together, because I haven't really seen a resource, and this is more speculation on my end, but maybe it's a interesting observation. It's like, if you are a declaring extrovert, then most likely when you go ahead and meet someone, since all you're going to have your external extroverted functions go out first, you're going to declare very often when you meet a person, because that's the first round of information or energy. But then as you get to know a person more, you start to use your introverted functions, and all your introverted functions are asking. So a sign of when you know you're comfortable or unsure or vulnerable or trying to control the situation or trying to demonstrate, all these things, you will start to ask a lot more. And you'll start to do that more in your closer relationships when you start to get more in terms of proximity. And I'm not sure whether he intended to do this or whatever his observations matches up with this, but in terms of my observation, this seems to be true. And for example, the introverted asking types, for example, the LII, They are going to declare first when they meet you, and they you can see when you meet a Solshonyx INTJ that they are very declarative with their logic, and they're very cold initially. But then, as you get to know them more, they will ask you questions about how you're feeling in terms of, like, how are you feeling today? How can I help you? And they will start to ask you more questions and to use their extroverted functions more, but in an asking way, and to be more in line with what their asking type is. So I'm not sure if any articles relating these two connections. I just kind of put Jeremy's article and then Model G together. And I've kind of seen that in my observation as well, especially when I'm getting closer to someone. I use my introverted functions much more, and I start to ask a lot more than if I just know you and I don't want to really get to know you very often. And I will create that distance, and there will be a lot more declarative notion between you and I. But anyways, that was a interesting tidbit. I'm not sure if any of you two noticed that as well.
I have, yes, for sure. I don't have a lot to add to that, but yes, it's true.
Awesome. Mitchell said when Jeremy had that asking and declaring article, Galenko doesn't talk about it a lot, but it's very, very relevant and very important as well. Galenko uses a lot of, in my opinion, temperament dichotomies and cognitive styles dichotomies and the original Jungian dichotomies as well. But he doesn't really do some of the other stuff. And I'm not sure why he does some of the other stuff. But before we go on and talk about the other things, did you want to add anything to the previous topic, Jeremy?
Not really. I guess one thing that I do have some gripe with Blanco about is the he doesn't really seem to understand strategic and tactical. He thinks they're reversed. You know, from my mind, it's pretty clear. Like, I don't know. I see allies as being tactical people. And I see allies as being strategic people. I see the way that they are classified as being accurate. And Glenko says, like, well, no, it's the opposite. I'm not really sure where Glenko's going with that. You know, it's like,
interesting.
I see myself as very strategic, not tactical at all. You know, I see allies are not really strategic. They're much more tactical, but there's this kind of like lore about allies that they're much more plotting and nefarious than they actually are. From my experience, they're much more tactical and strategic. But Klinko disagrees.
Mitchell, do you maybe have a guess to why Galenko might disagree with that?
Tactical, strategic stuff. One thing that I did have a thought about is actually the tactical, strategic stuff might relate a bit. He doesn't tend to, like on his article on the arena dichotomies on his website, he mentions that one of the criticisms that the arena dichotomy sometimes get is that they weren't necessarily named well. And he actually agrees with that criticism. He thinks that some of them, it's not that he thinks that the other arena dichotomies don't have meaning, but just that they're not necessarily named well. And I guess Jeremy got at that with his answer and the way that he changed around the tactical strategic in one of his articles. So there you go, that's one example of it. But also in addition to that, it relates to the point we were just talking about process results and rational and irrational in the sense that there seems to be some kind of structural similarity there because he also just thinks kind of that intuitive types in general are more strategic, I think, and sensing types in general are more tactical because he types this strategic when he flips around the signs is that he'll say like LSI, ESI, ESC, LSC, those are strategic even though they're normally tactical because they know well what they want, and it's very hard to get them to change their minds, I guess. I think with something along those lines. I might not be quoting that accurately. I can see why he'd sort of think that that's strategic in a way. I don't know. But then there are other people, you know, like Talanov, for example, has talked about that dichotomy, and he's meant totally different things by it. And that they have the context sensing, and so that lets them be more open-ended about the sensory stuff. I don't know. There's a lot of confusion around that dichotomy on the whole, and I'd like to see people talk about it more. Yeah, that'd be nice. But yeah, like LAIs and EAIs and EAEs and LAEs, they have contact intuition, and I can see, like, they're strategic in the sense that, and I think Lenko acknowledges this, they can come up with a lot of strategies. They come up with many ways that you could do something because they have that contact intuition, but not necessarily choose one. Whereas I think what he says about, like, the types like ILI, IEI, ILE, IEE, is that they develop a goal, their inert intuition, and then they can change it pretty flexibly, unlike people that have like, maybe the intuition in a launcher position, because with the launcher position, it's a lot more low energy. It's a lot more difficult to get a person to change their mind there. But the program function, they can change all the time and constantly are promoting and developing it. So there's like a lot of layers to that, but it's a little confusing.
I agree. One of the things that I've noticed from LIIs is that their ability to quickly change things that don't necessarily they have an interest, but they might drop it for another thing that is much more interesting. Where I feel like as a inert intuition user, even though we have the general stereotype that yeah, the NEDOMs are going ahead and drop everything that they do. But they're more likely to go ahead and not if they're extremely interested in something, especially if it gets to a very rudimental sentimental feeling towards them. So if I went ahead and I said that I want to go get better at typology because typology reminds me of or it gets me a sense that I can connect to people that I've already typed before, or that I can understand people that are very significant to me, and that brings a very comfortable feeling when I get to share people, and also a group of circle that I get to spend more time with. It really talks to more of my contact sensing, where I can go ahead and do that all the time, do newer things in that contact sensing way. Like, I'm doing different things, but they're still the same, like, typology-centered thing. I don't want to go ahead and explore too many different topics. I want to go ahead and get really, really good at just a couple things within Socionics and get really, really, really familiar with them. And it's just kind of not so that I'm going to always switch it out, but I'm going to go ahead and switch out the actual day-to-day, but not the actual trajectory of what my uses, my time is going to be. For example, one of the things that I see Jeremy do, or what he used to do, is that he would go ahead and reference this article, and then a couple days later he would reference another article, and then a couple days later he would reference another article, and then he would kind of like switch them in and out really flexibly. He would go ahead and introduce us to this idea, and then this idea, and then this idea. One week he was going ahead and translating all the Russian articles. And then the next week he would go ahead and email one of the Russian people. And then another week he would go ahead and do this thing. And then another week he would go ahead and do this thing. Where my mind is just like, well, we should go ahead and try to go ahead and stick with this kind of trajectory. And this is what I want to see the development happen. And these are the kind of concepts. Oh, Jeremy, like the asking and declaring functions, like that's really, really good. Like we should go ahead and do that more, or like talk about that more. Or like I couldn't see it for a very long time. Like I couldn't see what Jeremy was talking about asking and declaring. But once I saw it, it was like, bam, I need to go ahead and like try to take this as far as I can. So it seems that from the inert intuition side, it's more like, it took me a while, but once I get it, I want to go ahead and make it much more. Where Jeremy is like, well, we can also do this, and then we can also do this, and then we can also do this, and then we can also do this.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of myself a bit. Like, I'm always like, Galenko, and like what he thinks. And like everything else is like secondary for me.
I just get bored. Sorry.
Yeah, I see a lot of LLIs that get very bored easily. Like they also get excited very easily as well. So they would see, wow, this is great, and then they drop it.
I don't really drop stuff, but it lingers, you know. Like I've got a lot of stuff on the back pillars. I don't know. That's a weird way to say that, but well, it's just like aren't you like taking information through a fire hose? Like, okay.